Good morning. Happy Resurrection Day. I read the Bible through every year. This morning, the assigned text for April 17th was found to have me reading Psalm 47. I'm going to read the first few verses of this chapter, and it's never a coincidence when God has you to look at something in His Word and how it aligns with what the experience of life is. Here is the declaration out of Psalm 47. Clap your hands, all peoples, and shout to God with the voice of joy. For the Lord Most High is to be feared, a great king over all the earth. He subdues people under us and nations under our feet. He chooses our inheritance for us, the glory of Jacob, whom He loves, Selah. God has ascended with a shout. The Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises to our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with a skillful psalm. That is fitting for today. To acknowledge that our Savior is alive after 3 days of mourning and grief, believing that all was lost, and He's alive. May we be like this psalm calls us as God's people to be, stirring up praise in our hearts so that we might praise our God who's worthy of our praise today. The only announcement I have, we have no evening service this evening. Be at home with your families and celebrate and enjoy one another. And at this time, I would ask our deacon to come and bring prayer. He is the chair of our deacons today, Houston Cummings.
So good to see everybody here in the order service. Would you please bow with me? Our Father, our God, Father, we come to you on this day to celebrate your rising from the dead. Father, we just praise that you have conquered Satan, you have conquered death. And Father, we are so thankful that you gave a way for us to go to heaven to be with you. Father, if there's anyone here this day that does not know you as their personal Lord and Savior, Father, I ask that you open up their hearts and their ears that they will hear the message today, message through music, message through the sermon, Father, that they will come to know you, that whoever believeth in you will not perish but have eternal life with you. Father, again, thank you for your grace and your mercy. And Father, on this Easter, let us not forget all that you've done, the suffering that you did on Friday, on Good Friday for us, and then above all, your resurrection today. How you conquered death, how you saved our lives, and Father, all we have to do is believe in you. Father, go with us today and this week, and give us opportunities to share your name to others that do not know you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Because of what Jesus has done for us, because of his blood shed on the cross, and his victory over death, we now have everything. We are totally forgiven, fully loved, and embraced in the arms of his Father's family. We no longer need to stand outside the kingdom with our noses pressed against the glass, hoping that someday we just might be good enough. We will never be good enough on our own. That much is settled. But Jesus, our perfect, sinless Savior, so loved us that he gave his own life so that we may approach the throne of grace as God's own children, not because of who we are, but because of whose we are, and because of what he has done for us. He took our sin, our shame, our past regret, and our future failure. Now, may we run boldly to God as his own children. There is joy on his face and tears in his eyes as he welcomes us. This is what Jesus accomplished on Calvary's cross.
And sinners plunged in. grace unknown and love beyond degree. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It was
that we owed, one that we could not afford by his own blood. And now, today, we celebrate that he has risen from the grave. He has risen indeed. Let's try that again. He has risen.
He has risen.
Amen. Church, will you stand with us as we celebrate this together, as we sing of Christ rising. Christ the Lord is risen today.
Christ the Lord is risen today. Alleluia. Sons of men and angels say, Alleluia. Raise your joys and triumphs high. Alleluia.
Lives again our glorious King.
Lives again our glorious King. Alleluia. Where, O death, is now thy sting? Alleluia. Once he died, our souls to save. Alleluia. Where thy victory boasting grave. Alleluia.
Love's redeeming work is done.
Love's redeeming work is done. Fight the battle won. Alleluia. Death in vain forbids him rise. Alleluia. Christ has opened paradise. Alleluia.
Christ has led, and he calls us home.
So we we now where Christ has led us. Hallelujah. Following our exalted head.
In the darkness we were waiting, without hope, without light, till from heaven you came running. There was mercy in your eyes to fulfill the law and prophets. To a virgin came the word, from a throne of endless glory to a cradle in the dirt. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of kings. To reveal the kingdom coming, and to reconcile the lost, to redeem the whole creation, you did not despise the cross. For even in your suffering, you saw to the other side, knowing this was our salvation. Jesus, for our sake you died. Praise the Father, praise the Son, we praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of kings. Till that stone was moved for good, for the Lamb had conquered death. And the dead rose from their tombs, and the angels stood in awe, for the souls of all who'd come to the Father are restored. And the Church of Christ was born. Then the Spirit lit the flame. Now this gospel truth of old shall not kneel, shall not faint. By His blood and in His name and in His freedom I am free. For the love of Jesus Christ, who has resurrected me. Forever. Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings.
The ushers would come down at this time. Father, we thank you. You gave your Son to pay the debt that we could not afford. And not only did he take that punishment upon himself, but he defeated it in the grave and he rose victoriously. As we celebrate that this morning, Lord, would we be humbled? Would we be reminded that all you have given us is not just ours, it belongs to you. From the breath in our lungs, Lord, to the homes we live in, all of it is yours. And so, Lord, as we take this time to worship you by giving back what you have given, would you multiply it for your kingdom's work? And would you be glorified? We pray this in your precious name. Amen.
Take the bread of life, broken for all my sin. Your body crucified to make me whole again. I will recall the cup poured out in sacrifice. To trade this sinner's end for your new covenant. Hallelujah. I'll live my life in remembrance. Promise I won't forget. I'll walk salvation's road with fear and trembling. Your way born as my own, as Christ is formed in me. Hallelujah, I'll live my life in remembrance. Hallelujah, your promise I won't forget. If ever I should lose my way, if ever I deny your grace, remind me of the price you paid.
Hallelujah.
I'll live in remembrance. So good to me. You've been so good to me. Oh, to think where I would be if not for you, if not for you. You've been so good to me. to think where I would be if not for you, if not for you. As far as heights reach from the depths, as far as east is from the west, so far your grace has carried me. Until I see you face to face, until at last I've won my race, remind me you're not finished yet. Hallelujah.
Of Easter to us that believe. Because I have risen, you said to them, you shall rise. We live in remembrance, and we live in anticipation. Whether one at a time or gathered up in a cloud, we will meet you. We'll meet you in the air to see you face to face. We'll be our life's greatest sight. Lord, you who spoke the dawn into beginning, that first morning, you, the bright and morning star, chose to be rose, to be risen, as soon as it could be said, the third day had begun. You conquered death, the grave, and you crushed the serpent's head with a mortal wound that cannot be restored or healed. One day you will throw him to the lake of fire. Until then, Lord, we honor you, we praise you, for you are the captain of our salvation. You led the way, you are the way, and we need you every day, Lord. Now, as your servant comes to share the words of life with us, move in him, dear God. Give him the very words from your mouth to his ears and from his mouth to ours. Lord God, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, praise team. Of course, as you're fully aware, today we celebrate the most unbelievable event in human history. It's unbelievable. There have been great wars. There have been disasters, natural and unnatural. There have been incredible feats accomplished by human beings, as well as heinous and ungodly things coming from the hearts of wicked men. In our current generation, we're witnessing unfathomable conduct by humanity that's unprecedented, and we're astounded by what society accepts today as normal has never been morally acceptable in modern history. However, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is the most unbelievable event ever. He who died horrific death, sustained torture, is alive today. He is alive. His death was sacrificed for the sin of mankind, and that death satisfied God's righteous requirements against our sin, and so he was raised back to life, alive after being dead. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Can you for a moment imagine that someone that was a dear friend of yours, someone that was a close relative of yours, whom perhaps you stood by their bedside and you watched life drain out of their body, you attended a funeral, you grieved for days, perhaps still grieving, and you wrestled with this brevity of life issue. And what would you do if they showed up for dinner tonight? It's unbelievable. And yet that is what Christ has done. By the power of God, through the prophetic utterance and the promise that God gave, even in prophetic Old Testament times, he would be raised back up to life, and death would not have victory over his flesh. This is exactly what has happened through the resurrection of Christ. Somebody came back from the dead, and because he did, he promises all who are in Christ Jesus will also follow him in that resurrection. There is great hope and glory on this day as we celebrate this unbelievable event. In the Gospel of Mark, we find this action-packed, fast-moving gospel reflecting the resurrection of Christ in chapter 16. I want to read verses 1 through 13 this morning as a way of jumping off into these waters for a few moments. So stand with me as we read these verses. Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, beginning in verse 1. And when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, brought spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen, and they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, although it was extremely large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting at the right, wearing a white robe, and they were amazed. And he said to them, "Do not be amazed. You're looking for Jesus, a Nazarene, who's been crucified. He has risen. He's not here. Behold, here's the place where they laid him. But go and tell his disciples and Peter, he is going before you into Galilee, and there you will see him just as he said to you." And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had gripped them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Verse 9, now after he had risen early on the first day of the week, he first appeared to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out seven demons. She went and reported to those who'd been with him while they were mourning and weeping. And when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they refused to believe it. And after that, verse 12, he appeared in a different form to two of them while they were walking along on their way to the country. And they went away and reported it to the others, but they did not believe them either. Unbelievable. Let's pray. Father, this morning we gather together as your children who have experienced a deliverance from sin. We have had something supernatural happen inside of our hearts. You have gathered us together to know you by faith so that we might trust your sacrifice, and our sins have been forgiven. And we've experienced a spiritual cleansing and a filling of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, it is so incomprehensible. And yet it's true. Lord God, this morning I pray as we once again visit and examine this first day when our Christ rose from the dead, just how astounded Even his own were at him being alive as he had declared before he died. Father God, stir our hearts. Help us, Father, where we do not believe, to believe. Help us, Father, where we do believe, to be stronger in our faith, that we might live for you, and we might declare you, and we might trust you in all things. Thank you, Father, for resurrection. Thank you for giving the promise of raising us up one day. Lord God, may we embrace this truth this morning. May we find it believable as you supply and enable us to do so. Father, we thank you as you hear this prayer and as you answer it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. 3 days in the tomb. 3 days Jesus was in the tomb. That was ordained by God prophetically as a sign of Jonah. The Lord Jesus Christ in the Gospel of Matthew was approached, and the crowds wanted to see some sign. And Jesus responds to them, "You're an adulterous generation. You crave for a sign, and yet no sign's given to you except the sign of Jonah the prophet." This clarifies there was such a thing as a giant fish that swallowed a man. Jesus says it happened, and he refers to it here. He says this sign of Jonah the prophet, just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the sea monster, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Jesus confirmed an Old Testament prophecy that perhaps some in this room say that must be fantasy. It's some kind of story. It's just a metaphor. Jesus claims it as an event. And he says, just like Jonah was in that fish for 3 days, three nights, the Son of Man will be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights and then be raised up. 3 days ordained by God. And of course, when we look at the situation that our text reminds us of, when the Sabbath was over, the ladies, these listed here, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and then Salome, these ladies had watched, if you look in the previous chapter, when Jesus was taken off of the cross, and Joseph of Arimathea, in just the previous chapter, the last few verses of that chapter, the ladies were there watching. They knew where Christ had been laid. They knew to go back. The time had run out on the day of preparation. They could not anoint the body of Christ and prepare it for burial the way they knew needed to be done. And so on the day of Sabbath, they rested and they came after the Sabbath to finish the job, to bring spices to that place. And as they were on the way, very early on that first day, these same women came, and as they approached the site, their concern was, who's going to move the stone? We're just three ladies. We can't move this giant stone that we saw being put there in front of that opening. One commentary devotionally noted that these three ladies knew of the difficulty of the large stone being put over the mouth of the tomb, but what they didn't know was that there was also a Roman guard before that tomb. They didn't know that. These were things that developed afterwards. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27, you read through that and you find that the Pharisees were concerned because of what Jesus had said, that 3 days later he'd be raised up. They were concerned perhaps the disciples would come and steal the body. So they said, Pilate, can you put a guard there before the tomb to make sure this doesn't happen? Otherwise, there's going to be even more of a ruckus in the land than there already has been. And so Pilate said, yes, you have a guard. Put it there. They didn't know that. They knew there was a stone that had to be moved. They didn't know there was another hindrance. However, what's amazing, notice here in verse 2, very early on that first day of the week, when they came to the tomb, the sun had risen, and they were saying, who's going to roll away this stone? In verse 4, looking up, they got there, the stone was rolled away, even though it was extremely large. When you harmonize and look at all the other gospels, you find that there were soldiers there. But when the earth shook, when the stone was moved away, they became like dead men. They became paralyzed. In fact, Matthew's gospel tells us again that they ran back to the Pharisees and said, we don't know what happened. The door was open. His body's gone. We're just letting you know. And so they paid the guards off and said, just tell them something different and we'll cover for you. We'll cover for you. So the soldiers weren't there. The very thing they worried about was moved, and the thing they didn't even know about had been removed. Child of God, let me tell you something. That's how God works in your life. The things you know are coming that are difficult, he will take care of those. And even the things you don't know about, he's taking care of those. In Romans chapter 8, verse 28, a verse that gets very abused, being confident of this, knowing this, that God works all things together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. He is working out purposes for you, even behind the scenes when you have no idea. The things you know are difficult that are coming, and the things you don't even have any idea about, the Lord's taking care of those. And the stone had already been moved away. And so they entered in. This scripture says they actually entered into the tomb, and they saw a young man sitting at the right wearing a white robe. They were amazed. Again, the other gospels harmonized together tell us this was an angel, a messenger of God. And this messenger in verse 6 said to them, "Do not be amazed. You're looking for Jesus the Nazarene who's been crucified, but he's risen. He's not here. Behold, he is. Here's the place where they laid him." He was very comforting to them. They were afraid and fearful, but he calmed their fears. And then he reminded them, the one you're looking for is not here. He has been crucified, and he was dead, and he was laying here. He's not here anymore. He's alive. In fact, he goes on to tell them, instead, go back, tell his disciples and Peter. He's going before you into Galilee, and there you'll see him just as he said to you. And we have in messages in previous weeks, look back at that and how Jesus declared all of these things in order before they came to be. Even before his death, he knew what would be happening, and he had declared to them, "I will meet you in Galilee after I am raised again." Here, the angel was confirming what Christ had declared to them. Christ was not a liar. He was truth. And as he was declaring himself, he now is accomplishing that by telling them he would meet them in Galilee at some point. But notice here, Jesus was alive. Go report this news to the rest and tell the disciples they're to meet with Jesus in Galilee. What was the response of the women? Look at verse 8. They went out, fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had gripped them, and they said nothing to anyone. They were afraid. Perhaps they didn't believe. They didn't see Jesus. They just had this messenger telling them he wasn't here. Here's the things that he said. Go and tell the disciples. They were afraid. They did not obey. They didn't do anything. They didn't tell anyone. And I included the next two short sections, verses 9 through 11 and then 12 to 13, on purpose. That after he had risen early on the first day of the week, he then appeared to Mary Magdalene. Again, when you harmonize, Mary and the other ladies, they had scattered, but Mary hung around in the garden. And one of the Gospels tells us that Jesus met her, but she thought he was a gardener and began talking to him. "If you know where the body of my Lord is, please tell me and we'll take care of it." And the gardeners, Jesus, said, "Mary," and Mary's eyes were open to recognize it was indeed Jesus. This is Mary Magdalene had this experience. Jesus revealed himself to her first. And she must have been shocked, knowing she'd been there at the cross from a distance, but had watched Jesus die, watched Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, according to John's gospel, prepare the body, put it in the tomb, and to put the stone over it. They knew. Mary knew. And yet Jesus appeared to her. And note here in this particular section, she then went and reported to those who'd been with Jesus while they were mourning and weeping. This is those disciples that remained, the 11. And when they heard it, that he was alive and had been seen by her, they refused to believe it. Well, they didn't see Jesus. They just heard the report of this woman. They didn't believe it. The text goes on to tell us about something that Luke reports to us in Luke chapter 24, but here it's just a condensed version. After that, Jesus appeared in a different form to two of them, the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. This is what the reference is talking about. And while they were walking on their way to the country, Jesus was telling them all about the Christ and then revealed himself to them at their home when he broke bread and blessed it. Then he disappeared from before their eyes. So they went away and reported to the others. They went back to Jerusalem, but those disciples didn't believe them either. They still hadn't seen Jesus. I'm going to take you to John's Gospel. If you have your Bibles with you in chapter 20, and the verses right before verse 29, it's an account of one that we all often chastise Thomas, the doubter. He wasn't with them on the eighth day when Jesus appeared, on the day of the resurrection when Jesus appeared to them, but then some days later, he was with the disciples. And earlier they said, "We saw Jesus." He said, "I won't see him. I won't believe unless I see him and put my hands in his wounds." And then after 8 days, verse 26 of John 20 tells us, after 8 days, the disciples were inside and Thomas with them, Jesus came, even with the doors shut, and he came into their midst. And then he spoke to Thomas and said, "Reach in here with your fingers, touch me. Put your hands in my wounds. If that's what it takes for you to believe, do it." We have no indication, no record that Thomas put his fingers in the wounds. All we have is his declaration, "I believe. You're my Lord and my God." And Jesus said, "It's because you've seen me. It's because you've seen me that you believe. Blessed are those who do not see and yet believe." Folks, I want to tell you something. Jesus was ascended back into glory some days after his resurrection. He had spent some time with those disciples, those that were special to him. But since that day, no one of us has seen Jesus face to face. But what happened to him is so unbelievable. How can we believe? Only by faith. Only by trusting the very gift from God that we might trust him. He enables us to hear in our hearts that we are sinners and that Jesus died for our sin, and he enables us to say, "I'm broken before God and I'm not holy, and I humble myself before him," so that we might experience forgiveness. That's a gift from God. And that's what it takes to trust him. Faith. It's not just seeing Jesus. One day we'll see him face to face. The promise is that he will come in the clouds of the sky, according to the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And he will call his people to himself. And it's at that point we will see Jesus face to face, who belong to him. But until then, it's by faith. But it's so unbelievable that someone would come back from the dead. Except that lives through history have been changed, drastically transformed. Those early disciples, once the Holy Spirit came inside of them and enabled them to fully trust in him, they could do nothing but face people that were lost, face their enemies, and declare truth. They were transformed drastically. It is only by faith we can believe. Listen, it's only by faith that we can do anything. It's the only way we can please God. It's the only way we can believe that God created heavens and the earth out of nothing and just spoke it into being. It's the only way that we can believe that God is God and that he rewards people who seek him. He makes the unbelievable believable. And the Passover remembrance that's transformed into a meal of remembrance for us that we call the Last Supper, it is an unbelievable transformation. Christ Jesus sat with his disciples to remember something that happened in Jewish history. An unbelievable event where God told the people of Israel, "If you will take a lamb into your household and slay it and put the blood of it on the dwelling of your household, there's coming a night when the death angel is going to pass through all the land of Egypt and the firstborn of every household will be struck dead except for those houses where the blood of the lamb is found." And they did that, and it was exactly what happened. The household of every home that had blood over the lintel, none of the firstborn passed away. Only the firstborn of the homes that didn't. And that was all of the land of Egypt in that day. And there was great mourning in that day. It was an unbelievable thing. And Jesus transformed that into a new remembrance. A foreshadow of a greater Passover where those whose hearts are covered with the shed blood of the Lamb of God who would die on the cross for them and deserve judgment would be spared from eternal death. And it was from that supper setting that Jesus would go out and offer himself up as a sacrifice. Straightway, after transforming that remembrance of old into a new remembrance and a new covenant, he went out and offered himself up so that he might die for the sins of sinners. Peter's epistle, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, says, Jesus died for our sins once for all, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. The very just died for us as unjust once for all. One sacrifice that we might have access to God. Oh, and that presents something else that's unbelievable. He died while we're still sinners. He didn't wait for us to get our life together and our act together and rehab or reform. He said, I'm going to save you when you're lost. That's unbelievable. There's a lot of unbelievable stuff in here. Besides the fact that Jesus rose up from the dead, there's many other unbelievable truths that took place in this. And this is why the Lord instituted this supper for his followers. To recall that death. To recall the price that was paid for sinners. To look forward to a reunion. Jesus said, I will not drink again of this until I do it anew with you in the kingdom. It's a hope of a reunion. It's hope of resurrection, life after death. And yet, while it's unbelievable, he makes it believable for all who will trust him. Is that you this morning? You believe that the heavens and the earth are made from nothing but spoken word? Do you believe there was a global flood, destroyed every air-breathing creature except for those on the ark of Noah? Jesus referred to that too. Do you believe parting of the Red Sea took place so the Jews could pass through on dry ground and then swallow up the Pharaoh and the Egyptians who were pursuing them? Do you believe that? It's unbelievable, but do you believe it? Do you believe that there was a kid who killed a giant with a slingshot? It's unbelievable, but it's truth. You believe there was a talking donkey? Survivors out of a fiery furnace? A child, a savior born from a virgin? Do you believe that? It's unbelievable, but it's true. Faith brings us to the place that moves beyond simple humanity and wisdom and understanding. It takes us to the place where God elevates someone to comprehend truths that are beyond our belief. The Apostle Paul explains that a little more thoroughly in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, where he talks about we have to understand things spiritually. And it requires that God invades us and brings us to that place where we can believe it. And then when he does, we believe all that he's written. It's all pretty unbelievable. But it's true. And if you believe, then you're invited to come to the Lord's table this morning. You believe Jesus died for your sin. You believe that he rose from the dead. You believe that your trust in him is what secures your salvation. Then come to this table. Listen, if you do not believe, you should refrain eating of this bread, drinking of this juice. You might say, well, is there some kind of magic in it? No, there's no magic in this meal. It is a remembrance. Its power is in the spiritual effect that the Holy Spirit brings to our conscience. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 made an appeal to the church there who had really messed a lot of things up in the church order and polity. But he said, whenever you come together and you're eating of the Lord's table, he said, whoever eats the bread, drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus. So let a man examine himself and let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For whoever does not examine himself eats and drinks judgment to himself. None of us knows how that's played out, but God's word would not lie to us. And the Apostle Paul, as one who was a messenger of God's word, would not try and fiddle with the people of God. There's something too coming to this table in a manner that's worthy of it. Now listen, some might say, well, does that mean I have to be perfect? You can't. That's why we need Jesus. But as best as you know how, have you settled all sin problems with the Lord? As best as you know how, have you been faithful to reconcile? If you have, come to the table. It's the Lord's table. If you haven't, Don't. If you think you're coming this morning, you want to be at this Lord's table, then we do what the Apostle Paul tells us, and we take moments to examine ourselves, to enter into a time to prepare ourselves so that when we come to this table, we'll do it in a manner that's honorable to the Lord. So confess any known sin, renew yourself before the Lord, commit to walk with Him as we look forward to that appointed day when we're reunited with Him. And all of that, why? Because He died for us. We're obligated as His people. Let's examine ourselves. Jesus Christ and that death on the cross, He not only overcame death, He overpowered the power of sin so that the penalty of sin would no longer apply to us, that the power of sin would no longer be master over us, and one day the presence of sin would be removed as we enter into relationship with Him and then into His presence in glory. All sin will be removed. That's your security. It's unbelievable, but it's true. Let's pray together as we prepare our hearts. Father, as we have listened to Your word, and now, Father, we contemplate this supper that our Lord instituted so that we as His people might regularly come and remember His sacrifice. Thank You, Father, that You give us a day also to remember His resurrection. It wasn't just over, it is sacrifice. But how powerful that sacrifice was, all that it took care of for those who will allow their will to be broken so that they might trust the will of the Father. Thank You, Lord, for forgiveness of sin. Thank You for overcoming death. Thank You for the promise of reunion with the Lord. Thank You for giving us a family with which to celebrate this reality, to remember it, to hold each other accountable until we see our Lord come in the clouds of the sky or until we cross over that veil of death. Lord God, I thank You for this table. I pray that we will come in a proper manner. Help us to examine our hearts this morning. And Lord God, to lay those things at the foot of the cross that need to be left there. And Lord God, to come to You. Move in our hearts this morning to Your glory. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd invite you to stand at this time while we take a few moments to reflect before we take of the table. And so if you'll stand at this time, we're going to enter into a time of invitation, time of response.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily.
I surrender all.
I have a marvelous announcement for you. Morgan, come stand up here. Come get on the steps up here. This is Morgan Martin, and we have spent some time in the office and counsel with her and with parents, and Morgan has declared that she's trusted Jesus as Savior and Lord and would like to follow him in baptism. And yeah, appropriate. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And the plan is for next Sunday, her and her twin brother to be baptized together. And so we're looking forward to that opportunity. And so just want you to know that she'll be here at the end of the message, the end of the service, if you will come by and just welcome her. Those of you who are members here, welcome and encourage her at the end of the service. Go ahead and take your seat back to your place right now, and we're going to ask our deacons to come. Please be seated, except for the deacons, if you'll come at this time so we can distribute the elements of the Lord's Supper. Every gospel account gives us an account of the Lord's Supper, where the Lord sat with his disciples before his sacrifice and shared with them the transformation of this Passover into a remembrance meal regarding his death. And in chapter 26, verse 26, while they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And when he'd taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins. And I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Then they sang a hymn and went out to the Mount of Olives, and it was from there that Jesus was captured. And so, as we begin to take of these elements, try and remember that setting, and then remember that Christ has invited you to sit at this setting because of what Jesus has done through his death and resurrection. Christ Jesus, in that final supper he had with those disciples at that time, he broke the bread first and he blessed it, and then they ate. Father, excuse me, as we eat of this bread, we ask you to bless as we partake and remember the body of our Christ that was given up for us as a substitute in our place. Lord God, as we eat of it, that we remember that, Lord God, we commit ourselves to present our bodies a living sacrifice to you, holy and acceptable. In the name of Jesus, we ask it. Amen. Let's eat together. To us that in the same manner at that supper, Jesus took the cup and he shared it with his disciples, and they asked the Lord to bless. Father, as we drink of this juice, the fruit of the vine, we are mindful of the blood of Christ Jesus, the life of the body. That, Lord God, it was spilled out, and to assure that as the spear thrust into his side and the blood poured out, Lord God, he gave everything for us that we might be covered with the blood, made righteous in your eyes. Lord God, thank you for the blood of Christ. As we drink together, we remember that covenant sealed by his blood. We thank you in Jesus' name. Let's drink together. I pray that today you can celebrate Christ is alive. It's unbelievable, but it's true. And it has an impact upon us. Because Christ has been raised from the dead, he is the first fruits of all who are dead in Christ to be raised up with him one day. It's a great promise. And folks, it's not as far off now as it was yesterday. Every day brings us closer to that marvelous day. And it's unbelievable, but it will happen. Trust the Lord by faith. Celebrate with your family today. And may God bless you as you do that. Father, as we prepare our hearts to depart from this place, I pray, Father, you fill us with your Spirit, that you continue to remind us of your sacrifice and your resurrection, that, Lord God, we live in that manner, that we are crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and who gave himself up for me. Lord God, help that to be my prayer moment by moment for your glory. We pray it in the name of Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to your holy throne. Amen. God bless you, folks. Have a good day, Brother Alec.
Amen, church. Will you stand with me? And as we end our time together, we're going to proclaim this one more time, because he lives. Let's sing this together.
Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives.
Amen, church. Be sure you come down and welcome Morgan into the family.